Good afternoon, and welcome to Stage Talk, KSKA's weekly conversation about the performing arts. I'm your host, Steve Hunt. Glad to have you along again on a Friday afternoon. Today, we're taking a bit of a trip, going down to the underworld, so to speak, or otherwise visiting UAA Department of Theater and Dance's current production of Eurydice by Sarah Rule. And we're going to be talking with the director here, Ty Hewitt, who is new to the department. Welcome to the show, Ty.
Thank you for having me.
And is this your first show directing at UAA?
Yes, it is.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
We had you last summer to talk about the show, so now we'll hear about how it's going. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We also have two actors from the show. We have the character, Eurydice, played by Kimberly Alley, who has performed also with Crimes of the Heart at ACT. Now she's doing the title role in the show. Welcome to the show, Kimberly.
Thank you for having me.
We also have Angela Colavecchio, who is a part in the play. Angela, what are you playing? I forgot to ask you.
I play the Loud Stone.
The Loud Stone. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, in a moment. welcome to the show, Angela,
Thank
Kimberly,
you.
And Ty. So, Ty, let me toss it to you. The story of Eurydice is one of those stories from Greek mythology that many people might have heard of, might not have heard about, but just because we're not just doing the regular Greek mythology version of this play, give us a bit of background about the mythology of Eurydice, and then as a way of getting us into this play.
Yeah, so the myth of it's centered around Orpheus as its protagonist in the Greek mythology. And it's a fascinating story that is seen in cultures throughout the world. There's a Finnish iteration, Japanese. There's a Tlingit myth of Gunnar Nesigmet, who goes to rescue his wife from the world of the Blackfish and is successful in crossing the Great Threshold, which is a piece is a strange piece that is sometimes present and sometimes not. When the hero, in this case, the male hero, Orpheus, descends to reclaim his wife from the underworld, initially he is successful. In the earliest recounting of the myth, that is perhaps as early as 1600 BC, and then the first time we see it written was around the time of the Alcestis, and in that he starts to become unsuccessful in bringing his wife back from what like Joseph Campbell would refer to as like the great threshold, coming back from death. And the idea of once he starts to be unsuccessful, it starts to ring more true, perhaps, because as humans we know you can't come back. That's sort of the idea. So it's the essential element of the descent myth and the ability or inability to cross back over.
So having said that, now Sarah Rule's play is not called Orpheus, it's called Eurydice. So obviously she's taking a different focal point on this play. So let's transition to that part of the story.
And that's, to me, what's really interesting about Sarah Rule's take on this, is it is focused around Eurydice, around the young woman as the protagonist. And it becomes much less about the story of descent, and that it becomes basically the hero's journey of a girl on her path into womanhood, and I believe in sort of framing a question around the concept of fate that the ancient Greeks believed in a literal sense, in best seen in stories like Oedipus Rex and those types of things, and Sarah Rule's version becomes more, I think, about free will and the choices that are made that allow us to either come into adulthood, into sort of a realized state, versus perhaps an inability to make those choices that lead us. So essentially, Eurydice makes the choice that finally leaves her with her father rather than going on with her husband.
And the father plays a pretty big part in this play, doesn't he?
Very much, yeah.
Well, Eurydice, let's talk about your part. Kimberly, talk about your part, and maybe you can elaborate more on what Taya said.
Absolutely. Eurydice is a very interesting character because in the original myth, she's not talked about very much at all. You know that she's there and you know that Orpheus has lost her and he's going to find her. But as a character, she has no depth whatsoever. So in this version, she actually has character. She's got some spunk. She's really smart and intelligent. She loves to read. And as she travels to the underworld, she starts to figure out who she wants to be as an individual and what kind of people she wants to surround herself with, whether it's Orpheus or her father.
And so, do we want to give away the ending? What do you,
or, Ty already gave it away. She ultimately chooses her to stay with her father as he meets her emotional needs more than Orpheus does, since Orpheus is caught up with his music.
Well, you know, going back to Greek mythology, I mean, when the Greeks would go see the plays, they already knew the story. So it doesn't really matter that we know the ending of this play, or does it? Are we spoiling something for the audience?
I don't think so, because I don't know, I go back and forth because this version has her father, which none of the other iterations have a father. So more or less it is a spoiler that she chooses her father. But at the same time, it still makes it, you don't need to know the ending for to be compelled by the story. It's a completely different retelling, definitely compelling.
And I even enjoyed that perhaps that you can go in knowing the end, that it is in that sense tragic. Well, it's the same reason why I've maybe seen Hamlet 10 times. I'm not expecting a different outcome.
I really just
want to see the choices of the people involved in the production and how they reveal what is human, what is essential and common to all of us in the retelling of the thing.
Interesting. Now, Angela, let's head over to you. And you play, mention your name again. Your character is such a fascinating character.
I play the Loudstone.
The Loudstone. Now, explain to us what that means.
So there's a chorus of three stones, and we act as the traditional Greek chorus. And there's three of us. There's a Loudstone, a Big Stone, and a Little Stone. And in our version of it at UAA, and this is very UAA-specific because every single iteration of Sarah Rules Eurydice has a different feel to the stones. But the look at it we've taken is the stones are humans who have been down in the underworld so long that they are no longer human. They've become a part of the underworld. And in the beginning of the look at the underworld, you see us actually come out of the wall, and we have physically become a part of the underworld. And we are basically there to be the groundskeepers. We're there to tell Eurydice what the rules are of the underworld and what she can and can't do. And we don't like Eurydice because she tends to break the rules that we give her. And she gets on our nerves, as all humans do, because we like things to go a specific way. And if they don't, it angers us a lot.
So Eurydice is not your favorite dead person.
Eurydice is definitely not our favorite dead
person. They're really mean.
Well, for those of you just tuning in and wonder what that line meant, this is KSKA Stage Talk. I'm Steve Hunt. We're talking about UAA Department of Theater and Dance's production of Sarah Rule's play Eurydice. We're talking to Ty Hewitt, the director, Kimberly Alley, who's playing Eurydice, and Angela Colavecchio, who's playing Loudstone. And we're talking about how this new version of sort of the Greek mythology is being presented live on stage this weekend at UAA. Ty, it's often been said that if you want to look at how a particular society looks upon its own rules of living, their own philosophy, look at the art they present about another time period, because they often project their own ideas in that time period. Do you find that happening with this play? Do you find Sarah is projecting our own sensibilities on this older time period?
Yeah, I think if you look at that idea of artists and theater artists especially being sort of the collective unconscious of the times we live in and our dream life, and putting that for us to examine. Sarah Rule's choosing this myth and kind of turning it on its head as a way of perhaps, I don't know her, but I assume perhaps like dealing with the loss of her father and her ability or inability to move on there. I think we see a larger story that maybe we are confronted with are we able to move beyond loss? Are we able to essentially grow up?
And the question also about what it means to be alive, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And with alive being literally alive, or alive being emotionally, psychologically, figuratively alive as well.
Yeah, and that's some of the debate that Orpheus and Eurydice go into, and they put very different value on things of Eurydice puts great deal of importance on sort of the conversation with great minds of the past that are dead, that you can take those ideas and build on them and see how they apply to your own life, and they can better you and move humanity on in a positive way, whereas Orpheus puts the importance on the things of his own personal creation and to find the balance in those things. Like, is one more valid than the other?
Interesting. And Kimberly, we mentioned before that there's a battle over you between Orpheus and your father. What are some of the arguments that she has to deal with between Orpheus and between her father?
Well, I think the biggest argument that she's presented with is she lost her father, and it's not clear when she lost her father, but I can only imagine it happened at a rather young age. And she is suddenly reunited with her father. And I get like this with my own father. If he died and I had the opportunity to see him and talk to him again, I would take that in an instant. Her father is so important to her that when she's reunited with him, she doesn't want anybody else but to be with her father. And so she has to decide whether or not to pursue a future with Orpheus or stay in that this world with her father that she never really got to experience fully since he died when she before she really got to know everything about him.
Interesting. And Ty, one last question here, because you're incorporating the loud stones, and it seems like some more production elements with this play. In about 30 seconds, can you sum up kind of the production style of the play?
It's the style of the production has kind of come in through a really very collaborative lens of many people throughout the department on the technical side and many aspects of that, to sort of live in a sort of like the bowels of an old perhaps like steam plant or something very had a mechanical life that has morphed into this entirely other thing. And then there's also the challenge of that Sarah Rule gives us of portraying the underworld and the above ground world in the same space. So how do we delineate that, and what is that?
You know, we could talk about this for hours. This is such rich material here. I hate to cut this off here, but I have to say we're out of time here. I want to thank my guests, Ty Hewitt, director, Kimberly Alley, who's playing Eurydice, Angela Colavecchio, who's playing Loudstone, all with UAA Department of Theater and Dance's production of Eurydice, playing this weekend, Friday at 8, Saturday at 8, and Sunday at 3 p.m. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you.
And now it's time for the Stage Talk calendar. For more information about each of these events or other events coming up, or to download podcasts of Stage Talk, please visit alaskapublic.org, click on Stage Talk, and you'll see links to all the performing arts groups in the area. Please don't feed the plants. If you plan to see Little Shop of Horrors, which is currently playing at Mad Myrna's, with curtain times on Friday and Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. through March the 26th. For tickets and information, go to centertix.net. Valley Performing Arts is presenting Anne of Avonlea by Joseph Robinet, based on the book by L. M. Montgomery, running through March the 13th, with performances Friday and Saturdays at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. For more information, please contact valleyperformingarts.org. Shakespeare's The Winter's Tale, produced by RK Productions, is performing at Out North Contemporary Art House. Performances are 7 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays and 3 p.m. on Sundays through March the 13th. For more information, please go to outnorth.org. Tosspot Productions, in association with Cyrano's Theater Company, is presenting Kevin Armento's play Good Men Wanted. The show performs Thursdays through Saturdays at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. through March the 20th. For more information, please go to cyrano's.org. And tonight is opening night for Anchorage Community Theater's production of Gore Vidal's Visit to a Small Planet. The play will perform Thursdays through Saturdays with curtain times at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. through March the 27th. For more info, please visit actalaska.org. And finally, this is the last weekend to catch UAA Department of Theater and Dance's production of Sarah Rule's Eurydice. The play performs in the Fine Arts Building on the campus of UAA. Curtain times are 8 p.m. tonight and Saturday and 3 p.m. on Sunday. For more information, please visit uaa.alaska.edu/theaterandDance. Well, that's it for this week on Stage Talk. Until next time, I'm Steve Hunt for KSKA.
Stage Talk is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Stage Talk and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.